David, welcome to the Sales Made Easy podcast, sir. What's the good word?
You already said the great words, which is gratitude and empathy, the 1-2 punch of making money, helping people, and having fun, which encompasses to me sales and the ease, not the dis-ease, of providing value to exceed what we're asking for.
Oh my goodness. You said ease, not dis-ease. That's almost right off the title with Sales Made Easy. People get super stressed over selling, over the idea of selling. It's all over their face. They wear it. They get sick sometimes. What's been your secret for over the years to develop this approach to sales?
Well, first of all, you got to be really annoying. And when I say really annoying, I learned that about being a parent myself, about being annoying. Because what you need to do is be repetitive. You need to be repetitive about how you teach people, how you mentor them, how you coach them. But you have to instill in them the repetitiveness of practice themselves. You know, when you become a professional at something, you practice it. Whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, an athlete, a golfer especially, you got to practice. And so many people think that sales is an innate being. It is a genetic and an energetic inheritance. Look, LeBron James would have been a decent basketball player genetically, energetically as well. But that man practices like Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan practice. And so it takes more than being a natural salesperson to sell. You need to practice. And in order to practice, you got to be annoying. You got to be repetitive and honest. And when I can instill in people the repetitive nature of human experience combined with the best ability to be honest to themselves, they have a capability of understanding value and communicating that effectively.
Oh, I love it. And this is a craft that a lot of people, from what I've experienced, David, is people say things like, I'm not a salesperson. So when they say that, they're automatically, or at that moment, they're checking out from being better at it because they don't want to have the approach that they look salesy for whatever reason. And so they don't do anything. So instead of working at it and saying I could come up with my own approach, they hold back and don't do anything and expect that nature is somehow going to take over.
I love that. Look salesy. That's an interesting comment because so many people don't get involved in selling because they don't want to look salesy. And I want to take you back one step to help people that may be up there. And I'm empathetic towards them when they fail salesy because they're afraid to ask. You know, there's two things that you need to work on if you're afraid to ask, if you're afraid of being seen as a salesperson, of selling someone. Number one, you need to understand value. And then beyond value, you have to have faith. And let me go through those first two things that will help you so you're never afraid of being seen as a salesperson or salesy, quote unquote, Harry. So when we talk about the first component, value, take a step back and say, there's only two ways that I can provide value to people. Give them more of what they like, what works, what they know. Or I can take away what they don't like, what doesn't work, or what they don't know. And so when you take a service value approach to everything you do, you're just there not to sell. I'm here to say, would it help you if I gave you more of what you like? Would it help you if I took away some of what you didn't like? Does that sound salesy to you? Not at all. And so I think people get confused about value and service and the purpose of what they're doing in a sales relationship. But how does faith play a role in this? Well, it comes through those two values of gratitude and empathy. You see, gratitude is going to give you perspective only if you have faith. There's more than enough of everything for everyone. And so I believe there's more than enough information. There's more than enough energy for everyone. And everything's energy and everything's information. And so I come from a faithful concept of there's an omniscient and all-powerful source that I'm a resource of that loves me, protects me, promotes me, and perfects me more than my mom. So I'm going to use gratitude to see all that I'm given. I'm going to use gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons that we can share with what works for you and what doesn't work for you. What is you like and what you don't like, what you know and what you don't know. It's all a process that's in reconciling gratitude and forgiveness, and empathy, because the word ease, it is synonymous with empathy. You see, gratitude will give you perspective. It'll give you faith that there's light, love, and lessons, that no longer are you punished, challenged, struggling. You are simply learning. That's what gratitude gives you. But empathy, it gives you ease. It identifies what we are doing to ourselves, the meaning of our past, the meaning we give to sales that creates this dis-ease, this stress. And so I want people to take a step back and say to myself, I'm not salesy. I'm of service and of value to people. I know how to be of value to people. There's only two ways: give them what they like and take away what they don't like. And then I'm going to utilize gratitude and empathy in order to facilitate my faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone. And then I'm going to be annoying because I'm going to be repetitive, and I'm going to practice articulating that value to exceed what I'm asking for.
Yeah. So I love what you just said. It's just so simple and clear. Years ago, I read How to Influence, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. This is where I learned how to be a better listener. Still working on it 25 years later, but listening to understand, I learned was really listening with empathy. Because listening to understand where people are coming from, putting yourself in their shoes as them, is really where I think is the key, so that you're not just selling to someone like you, but you're selling to someone as you, David Meltzer, may be different than selling to me. What's your thought on that? My right or thoughts?
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you. I don't know if we're right or wrong, because one of my favorite things about sales is you're either humble or you're about to be. So I try to take a position that I don't know what I don't know, but I agree with you. I don't know if we're right. But within the context of agreeing with you, it is so true that we need to understand, for the sake of what am I doing this, saying this, thinking this, believing and feeling, but even more important, utilizing two of these suckers right here, what are they listening for? I'll tell you what they're listening for. More of what they like and less of what they don't like. More of what works and less of what they don't work. More of what they know and less of what they don't know. That's what they're listening for. And you really have to be a very active listener to learn what other people are listening for. It's hard enough to know what we're listening for. Mm-hmm. I have a great saying in sales: it's not what I say, it's what they hear. And if I'm not listening myself, I'll never know what they're hearing. And so many times we make these assumptions that, one, people pick up what we say the first time, or two, that we have correctly articulated what we meant. How many times, just to be honest, in a methodology of humility, how many times do we actually misspeak? You know, now that they have AI and recording mechanisms, like, I go back and listen to some of these interviews, and Harry, go back and listen to this one, and analyze how many times did you actually misspeak, right? Like you said something, and you thought you said it right, and now you're wondering why the guy's such an idiot because he doesn't understand what you're talking about. Meanwhile, he understood exactly what you're talking about. You're the idiot that said it wrong. You just thought you said it right. So this idea of listening is so deep and so entrenched in what we want to do in a symbiotic relationship alignment, that we could take action and adjust to the time, value, and emotion that's consistently changing in the sales process.
The person who says they're a good listener, I see this in sales all the time, and people dismiss it and they say, oh, I'm already a good listener. How is the, I love what you said to me, either you're humble or you're about to be. There's so many keepers in this, but how do you help a person who insists that they're already a good listener when you know they're missing out on really understanding what the buyer is looking for or trying to figure out here?
Beautiful question. And anybody that tells me they're good at anything, I ask them, when they say I'm already good at that, well, that's nice. Wouldn't you like to be better? I'm a good golfer, right? I shoot low 80s. I'm a good golfer,
nice.
But yeah. I really want to be better.
Okay.
So I'm a good listener, Harry, but I want to be better, because I'll tell you this about what I know, especially about salespeople. There's a common denominator of the greatest salespeople. There's a common denominator of the billionaires, millionaires, and entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers that I have surrounded myself with. And you know what it is? It's the desire to be what you must be. And so what you're telling me, if you tell me I don't need to be, I'm already a good listener, then you're telling me you don't have a desire that you must be what you can be, because you can be much better. I don't care how good of a listener you are or I am. I'm striving to take the most valuable qualities, characteristics, skills, knowledge, and combine it with David Meltzer's desire that I must be what I can be. So I am a good listener, but I want to be better.
Yeah, beautiful. Would you say that an entrepreneur should ever stop learning? I'm not judging, but I mean that the idea of being better in sales is a craft that might always be worked on, or what's your thought there? If that talk about misspeaking.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Yes, absolutely. You know, there's another part about getting better that a lot of people don't understand, in the measurement, the quantifiable measurement of physics, math, quantum physics, and metaphysics. And it involves time, because time is the only dependent variable of our future. It's the only certainty of our future. We are guaranteed tomorrow, every human being on earth, 24 hours. It's certain. Unless it's the last day of your life, you're going to be cheated. That's certain as well. But most of your life, you are guaranteed 24 hours tomorrow. It's the only certainty. I don't know what the temperature is going to be like, the mortgage rates are going to be like, the gas prices or the stock market. I don't know what delays I'm going to get or what surprises I'm going to get. None of that's certain. If I was, I know how to make $1 billion, no problem, if there was a certainty other than time. And so when we realize how are we utilizing our time in the respect of the 24 hours, you'll realize that 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. And so understanding the conscious continuum, the physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics of time, and I'll give you proof of this, by the way, you can analogize it to sales. I've never met a kid who studies Spanish 15 minutes a day, 7 days a week, that doesn't get an A. I have met thousands of kids who study Spanish on Sunday night or Sunday for 15 hours. 15 hours they study, and they don't get an A, most of them.
Right.
And so I see the same thing in sales. If, you know, when I took a kid, he was failing in real estate. And he said, "Mr. Meltzer, I want to make over $1 million in this next year. Can you help me?" I said, "No, but I can guarantee it." Mm. And he said, "You're going to guarantee?" I said, "Yeah, I coach people month to month and guarantee, I will guarantee that you make over $1 million this year. And you don't even have to pay me. You get a choice. You pay me $3,000 a month right now, or you can go ahead. If you make over $1 million, you can give me $100,000 of it. You're making zero right now. Can you see any reason you won't want to do that?" So he said, "It's worth it, Dave. I'll do it." I said, "Okay, fine. Go knock on 150 doors a day, 7 days a week. Door knock 150 doors a day for 7 days a week. And I promise, you know how much money he made? $3 million.
Oh my goodness.
Because 150 doors every day was worth $1,500 on a Saturday. It was worth $15,000 in his email list. It was worth 150,000 views on a video. That's what it's worth. Because consistent and persistent behavior creates a acceleration, aggregation. But the main thing it provides us in sales is an exponentiality of outcomes. It isn't 1, 2, 3 sales. It's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 sales. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you're consistent and persistent in the pursuit of your potential as a salesperson.
My goodness, that is incredible. Jam-packed 15 minutes here. David, what's the mission these days for you?
Well, first, I want to offer everyone in your community my book. I will sign it. I will send it to them. I'll pay for the book, pay for shipping. None of this, you know, here's a free book, but $12 in shipping, not from David Meltzer. It's all free. If it's free, it's me. And so please email me if you're in this community, david@dmeltzer.com. I'm the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. If you haven't read Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil, How to Sell Through Life, It's the seminal personal development that all from Covey to Wayne Dyer, everybody learned from Napoleon Hill. So please join us in the Napoleon Hill Institute. I'm in 200 cities a year. Reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. And Harry, I hope to see you very soon. Thanks for allowing me to share our communities.
Yeah, it was so great to see you at CreativeCon. I'll throw a little message to them, but you're awesome. And I am going to join that community. So I love it. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Harry. Thank you, everyone. Okay.